I can't resist. Happy Lord's Day. And yesterday was Happy Saturday. We know that you are the remnant because you made it here on Sunday morning early. Anyway, let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the great blessings you've given us this weekend through the ministry of Phil and others. Thank you for, most of all, for Jesus and for the cross, and that we know we are saved and we know we belong to you. Bless this time now and this day. Help us to honor you in Jesus' name, amen. Hasn't Phil been wonderful this weekend?
All right, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. And you do have my notes. And this sure has been a wonderful time to be with you, and I've learned a lot, and sifting it through and putting it together. You have to do it from your angle, I got to do it from my angle, but we're all going to be doing it, so, and that's a good thing. And the issue that I see in Philippians chapter 3 is of course bigger than the Adventist issue. It's any of us, it's about legalism. And that's what Paul's going to zero in on. And again, my background's that, but not my background in legalism or rules on Sunday. You know, and we didn't play cards, we didn't go to movies, we didn't do things. But my parents handled that well. You know, it wasn't. This is who we are. This is what we do. They didn't necessarily plunk that on others, and I appreciated that. But the text this morning, and I think what your background truly is coming from, is it's a legalism that makes us right with God. Do these things to be right with God. We as believers, however, evangelicals, you know, we shouldn't have to use the word evangelical. We should just say believers. But we still lapse into that thought process of, well, I want to please Jesus. And if I didn't have my devotions every day, or if I didn't every day, or if I start, then I'm not going to please God. And there is a sense where I love the Lord with all my heart, and I do want to please Him. But we can't make God love us more, like us more, accept us more. Does that make sense? I please Him. Just we all have, you know, if you have children, if God's blessed you with children, you love your child no matter what they do. They mean that much to you, and you're sad when they're walking wrong or when they disobey or when they talk back. But we don't love them less. Your children can't make you, by what they do, love them more. They can please us more, you know. Good job. We like that. So I think that's a context that we got to sift this through. What's it take to be right with God is really the key issue in this text. Are there external things? My thoughts of Adventism is, yeah, there's a lot of external things. Other systems, other, quote, Christian systems, there's external things to be right with God. Do these things, and you're getting right with God. You are right with God. But I think there's others who will put a combination of internal plus external. And I, you know, my thought of Adventism might be more of that. There's an internal element that they're seeking and an external element. But that still comes up to zero before God. That's Philippians 3. You got your Bibles there. Paul gives a really strong warning to these dear people. And to be a true Christian, that's what he's dealing with, you have to do these things. And Paul's saying, no, you don't. Similar to Galatians in that, in this section. Paul wants them to know that to be accepted by God, in the family of God, right with God, it's not about performance. You know, did you struggle with performance? I mean, would you quantify it that way? Today, you mean, in your thought? Well, Sam, yeah. We surely are missing the blessings of God in my life. I'd have a hard time saying, God, you know, I'm not going to protect you now. We go through things because of stupid decisions, sinful decisions that I make as a Christian. And that certainly, God's going to say, you're going to have to work your, I'm going to watch you work out of that. And truly, in Corinthians, when Paul gives a warning about communion, he says, well, some of you have died because you've been living sinfully and think you can take the Lord's Supper. And so God can, but doesn't change my standing with God. But have saying, if I'm not walking closely with him, I'm missing out on lots of things from a close relationship. That's true for you now. Yeah, Colleen. Within the concept of being, see, right, and that's working out that, and that's exactly right. You know, this one gal, Adrienne, in our church, and that's the struggle of sometimes she, you know, in her thinking, the backward steps that she takes when she hears certain phrases, of it gets back to, you know, what do I have to do to be in that relationship? I said, Adrienne, you are in that relationship. This is a dad-child relationship, and you are in it. You're in the family. It's working out in family life. Well, Paul here gives a real strong warning, and his warning can't be about try harder. That was what he was fighting against. Those who are thinking you got to try harder. Salvation. I want to bring this out. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
To piggyback on her comment right there, I think our view of God has changed as that, because my view was kind of an angry grandpa kind of a guy going, step out of line and I'll zap it. So to turn that to a loving God who wants to nurture us and save us and take the price on the cross, and all we have to do is a free gift, is that's a real, you know, travel across the universe and paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's that realignment issue that we've been, the theme of the conference has been. Well, Philippians 4:3. Oh, that's a good. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling means I got to live it out. I got to work it out. It's not my born again issue. Again, that, you know, when you don't have the blocks, the foundation blocks in place and in order, that's where we got trouble. You know, that's why. That's what discipleship is all about, ought to be about. It's helping Christians, young Christians, say, this is block one, it has to go here, and block two, block three, block four, then we build on that. Now your foundation is set. Now go live it out. But if your foundation is wrong, I think that's it. You know, I know my salvation. And you've got to take the whole counsel of God's word in that. And just because there's a verse that says obey. Oh, no. You know, the commands. As I say, that obey the commands, and that reverts your thinking to a certain motif. And that's wrong thinking. But boy, I can't. You just got to work that through. And we others need to encourage you and say, it's okay. That's not it. You know, we need to obey. We need to work out our salvation. We need to live for Jesus in the right way. But it doesn't change your status with God. It doesn't change your relationship. You're being in him. Yeah. Right. Later. Right. That's how you're looking at it now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I love that verse. I use that quite a bit when it fits in my context. Now, to everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is God's will for you? To be five letters, saved. God's will for me is to be saved. You don't have to hunt that up very hard in Scripture. What is God's will for you? To be saved. But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is in the kingdom. Right? Profession of faith is easy. I can profess faith. I can say the right words. I trust Jesus as my Savior. But have you been, that's because it gets back to yesterday, redemption. Think about redemption. Because I trust Jesus as my Savior. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And you don't understand what salvation is. Salvation is someone pays the price and is the price to get you out of this captive room. It's not what you do. So someone who says, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean they've been redeemed and set free and ransomed and bought out. So I use that verse quite a bit. You know, when people come, and I think I may have mentioned this, and you can't remember it, I can barely remember, but saying it. But when people question their assurance of salvation, and they're living not, if they're living for Jesus, I do everything I can to show them the reassurance of their salvation. Look what it says. You know, and John yesterday, I mean, he hit through those verses too of if you have Christ, you have life. If you don't, you don't. But if you're not walking with Jesus, Lord, Lord, you know, we don't know their heart. Anyone who professes the name of Jesus, I can never say you're born. You can say it. God knows it. But if you're not walking with Christ, I'm not going to give out an adult, you know, well, here, you signed the paper. You're in. I'm going to say, I don't know if you're in, pal. And that'd be true, right? I don't know. And by how you're living, you don't look like it. So get your act right. And a guy I led to the Lord, was in our area for a while, moved away. He was moved back, living with his girlfriend, jogging by my house. It was after work. I ran out the door. He was jogging, so I ran. I caught up and I said, Larry, you're living with this girl. Where are you at? And he says, well, you know, I'm not sure. I said, well, you got to make a choice of either live for Jesus and give your life to in full, or don't tell me, just give me the truth. Where are you at? And that's what it is. But we don't judge the heart. God has to judge the heart. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. Yeah. Right. Right. The man, the paraplegic. Right. Your sins are forgiven. And who are you to forgive sins? Well, that's the point. He could forgive sin. Hey, you can hijack. If this is my church, then I'd be saving this for next week. I could really have a good week. Go ahead.
I started by writing in here. It's not about love, getting him to love me more. It's about blessings and fear and punishment. It occurs to me when I'm listening to us and your responses that maybe that's where my problem lies. That I've, you know, when you talk about fathers, who would be like, not want to go there for me. Maybe being saved means I don't have to fear becoming Joni Erickson anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe fearing loss of his protection is a mistake.
Yeah.
Saved, it's not possible to get a broken neck and have it be bad.
Right. Do we think that... Again, I just worked through Ecclesiastes with our congregation. That was a wonderful, great feedback. And in that, it's why do we... Solomon makes a point of adversity is not always so bad. Don't judge a book by its cover, because adversity is not always bad. And wealth is not always good. But we think that. I'm getting zapped. That's a great illustration. I used Joni Erickson as an illustration in that series someplace in the latter time, meaning January. But she broke her neck. Through that, she comes to faith in Jesus. You know, Steve Estes leads her to the Lord, and Steve was a free church pastor, became a free church pastor in Pennsylvania. But I did a funeral a few years ago of a college freshman who loved Jesus and was killed in a car accident, and no fault of his own. And those parents, you know, they're in our church and they love the Lord and they trust. And I did that funeral, and we got to give such a great testimony for Jesus through that funeral. Do we think that, oh, how terrible, what a tragedy, he's 18 and he died. Do we think that's really a tragedy? I hope not. Is there a difference between 18, 28, 58, 88? Sure there is. How many years? 88 to 18 is about whatever years. I'm not a mathematician. Okay. So we think that's a lot of time. Well, it is on our spec, but in God's spec, what are we living for? I'm living for eternity in heaven, which has already started. So if I die, my dad died at 56. And so that's pretty young, because when I was 56, I was living out that last year of my dad's life and thinking about it. I have leukemia. My dad had lymphoma, and I was diagnosed in 88 and two rounds of chemo, and I thank God for good chemo, and it's been in remission since 95, and my dad had lymphoma, and he had that for 14 years, and I'm thinking me, and I'm thinking him, and then he's 56, and now I'm 56, you know, at that point, a few years ago, and I was living that out, and do you think my dad regrets being in heaven? So, but we get hung up on this adversity. We've got to say this is an adversity. Yes, it is. But you know what? I'm going to use this for the glory of God. I want who do I get to influence for Jesus today? Stuck in the hospital. When I was in the hospital with this leukemia, my second time, and I got a PICC line, and it was an infusion, 7 days of this chemotherapy, and a blood clot formed. And so that stuck me in the hospital, you know, and the doctors would say, well, you're not going home today, maybe tomorrow, but for sure the next day. And they took that window of three, you know, every day it was the same story tomorrow. Well, not today, maybe tomorrow, but for sure the next day and the next day. Not today, maybe tomorrow, for sure the next day. The ninth day that I was in there, I led a lady to Jesus because the nurses says, this lady's going to die. Would you go talk to her? She came to faith, and guess what happened to me the next day? I got out the next day. So how do we look at that? Do I get mad at God that I got a stupid blood clot in my arm and I can't get out of here until enough blood thinners dissolve it? Or do I say, providence of God, I'm going to use this for God. I got to talk to a Jewish doctor about Christ, who the first time I was in the hospital because of that leukemia, and he came, he was an intern in that hospital, and I started a relationship with him and kept that relationship going, got through the gospel several times with him. Had I not been in there, I would not have, maybe God would have used somebody else. And we were talking about that. That's the blessing I get, right? God doesn't need us. But boy, I love it that I can be used of God, which means you and I have to live every day working out our salvation, saying, God, what can I do for you today? And we have a choice to look at the adversity and curse God, or look at the adversity and say, now that's a new wrinkle. And I'm not saying I get this all right, but I'm talking to me and I'm talking to you. That's how we have to view it. But not fear. That is a great comment. See, again, my upbringing and who I am, I don't think I even think like that. But that doesn't mean my wife doesn't, you know. But I don't. What are we going to fear? Going to heaven. Oh, yeah. Because that's the ultimate. When I leave this life, I get to go be with Jesus. I know that. Now, and there's your deficit. The deficit. Yeah. All them are called according to his purpose. Right. And that's the mind. That's got to be the mindset that we grow into and take up and live out. Mm-hmm. we had a guy, Terry Graver, who became a quadriplegic, I don't know, 8 years after Johnny in our church, fell out of a tree hunting, broke his neck. I got there pretty quick. Helicopters had to take him out of this mountain in Pennsylvania. And it was hard for Terry. He had four kids. The little four-year-old was the youngest. And he's in the exact same break that Johnny had. He had extension. He didn't have the other whatever. He could do this, but he couldn't do this. But eventually he could drive, and they got his van and equipped. But he just struggled. And he and I would talk about Johnny Erickson. But he says, but I'm not Johnny Erickson. I said, I know you're not. But you still have a choice to say, God, what are you going to do? And he says, you don't know what it's like. And it's hard. It was hard for him. And, God took him home. He's walking in heaven today, extension and everything. But, he finally, his life ended. But we need Christian friends to come around us, put their arm around us, saying, in the face of the adversity, admit it's an adversity. You know, that's why Romans 8:28, worst thing we can do is say that to somebody who's going through that adversity, but we sure can think it and pray it for them. And then later we can talk about it, but not today. But we disciple one another. We have to disciple each other and pick each other's up and say, you're going to get through this, and let's watch how God's going to be glorified through it. Come on, we can do that. There's the question. And it's my, and that's the relationship of, I love Jesus. It's a choice we make. Is it gonna, and people get mad at God. And, you know, and I get to preach, and sometimes I get to bring that up. And we get mad at God? I mean, what a crazy, and that's us as believers. People get mad at God. And he's the first one they turn to, especially non-believers, turn to get mad at God because he did this to me. I'm going, did he do that to you, or was that the left-hand turn that you made on a one-way street? To blame God? And I tell people, express your heart, because if you're expressing your heart, we also got to come to say, I better shut up before God. I mean, but in the moment, that's okay. I met with a lady who was pretty upset, and I had to say, don't get angry with God. Get upset with your husband. Get mad at your husband. Don't get mad at God. Why didn't God stop my, you know? Yeah, that'd be very Jewish, wouldn't it? I agree with that. I absolutely do, right? But it's a different thing to get angry at God and blame him versus arguing and talking and dialogue. Yeah, he can. Yeah, that's right. That's in the context of a right relationship, in a real relationship with him. Yeah. To the devil. Right. Questioning and wondering and sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's 1 John, right? Relationship. From the shark, yeah, that I watched that movie not long ago. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. When I was first diagnosed with his leukemia, there was a guy in our church who was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. Mine is this bad, his is this bad, you know? But boy, did we bond and talk and pray, and he died 9 months later. You know, and he knew he was going to die. But boy, Rudy was an evangelist, man. He went to the hospital, and he would just share the gospel because he didn't work anymore. You know, and that was his job because he was on, you know, and he died. Yeah. The good stuff. Yeah, right. And that's the building blocks that are just wrong. And I mean, there can be, I'm sure there's people in my congregation that haven't yet put the right building block down, the right stone. Christ is our cornerstone, that foundation stone. They're still not on it, and they got misconceptions. And then that's the working of the Holy Spirit in that person's life, to where we finally, you said the other, whatever, Friday or yesterday, but surrender, you got to give it up, right? And that's when, and we settle it with God. But we got so much baggage. We all have baggage, just different amounts, right? Different amounts, but we all carry a bag. Pardon? Yeah. and you haven't stepped on a different block yet. You're still on you. Yeah, isn't it true in Ellen G. White's stuff that it's all about me? That God values your freedom. Is that, I've heard that. Is that, you know, your God really wants your, cherish your freedom. God values your freedom. Do you see how crazy that is? I value God. He is my all in all. I stand on Him. And it's about Him. And about me. And until we get out of that me, and that's why that's not just Adventism, that's every human being, that we have to step off of that. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, God has to be declared the winner over Satan. I mean, is that kind of like how it is? And if you were outside Adventism, and you all are now, but as one who is outside, I go, what? We want to declare God the winner. He is the winner. Satan is the loser. He was never in competition with Jesus. Where is that? Well, it's not. That's the problem. Right. Yeah, but I'm lost and I got to get back into His house. Yeah. Yeah. Tree falls to the righteous and the rain comes on the righteous and the unrighteous. Or when everything's good, God is good. When it's not so much, what's wrong with God? Right? Oh. Yeah, I gotta be persecuted. Well, that's the mindset. You know, when I called up Ministry Journal guy and said, I don't want to get this anymore, you're very deceptive, and I had my conversation with him, I know he felt persecuted for righteousness' sake. And that was going to be his takeaway. But we do the same, right? We do the same thing. So that's not probably so. I mean, if someone beat me up for the name of Jesus, well, I was beating him up for the name of yeah, right. Or his Jesus, you know. Was that Paul Carden? Yeah, Paul Carden's testimony was they have Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. You know, Islam has a God, but it's a different God than our God. Yeah. prodigal son and his dad, right? And that what Gary. That's great. All right, this is the easiest sermon I've ever given. I just want you to know that. Isn't that great? Yeah.
You know, I realize that the relationship that I have with God is the only one that I judge based upon the pleasantness or unpleasantness of the interaction that I have. In the sense that I have a new 8-month-old little daughter, and I love her no matter what. But if I judge it based on the pleasantness of
But in your defense, not that you need it, but every one of us who are, not me, of course, but all of you who were teenagers, right? I mean, if we had a loving mom and dad all the time, but we as sometimes rebellious teenagers, we are thinking that way, you know? But mom and dad who love the Lord and loved you aren't, right? So when your daughter gets to be 17 and... You know, you're going to have that unconditional love for her, but she might be looking at me. You really don't love me, you know. So it is. It's about truth. It comes back to truth, because what you just said is the truth. But teenagers, sorry, don't look. Teenagers are looking this way. Oh yeah, that doesn't look very straight over there to me, you know. And as we get older, not you, of course. I think you got it right. But eventually we get up there and we're going, oh yeah, it's about truth, and the lie of Satan, Adventist or not Adventist, doesn't really matter. Believer, non-believer, that's what matters. It's all about the truth of God. And reminding you, you know, why you're here, because, and you've been reminded of truth. It's about the truth. Well, I'm going to close in prayer, and I want to pray for you all. And just a reminder that we get to go to church next on Sunday. Most of you do that anyway here, so. It's a delight for me to be able to do that. And then it's a fellowship time this afternoon, noon. Address, maps, real easy. It's not very far from here, so that's a good thing. And look forward to more interaction. If I was going to preach in Philippians, it would be saying that Paul thought he had his act together, and it was this arrogant Pharisee, right? And in the Judaizers that were bugging him, it was faith in Christ plus. Right, and anytime it's faith in Christ plus, it's not the truth. Paul was very tolerant with those who preached the gospel with false motives. He didn't rip them up, but he did rip up people who taught it's Jesus plus, not motives, but Jesus plus. And that's what he's dealing with. And he says, you Judaizers think you got it together. Well, you guys weren't of the tribe of Benjamin, you weren't. He lists out his pedigree. If you got reason for boasting, I have more. And he goes, that's not what it is. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that he's going, oh, I hope I get to the resurrection. That was his goal. That's what we have to be about. I want to know you. That's our lifelong pursuit. Working out our salvation, not, and we do it with fear and trembling, but we do it, I love Jesus, and I want to live and serve him. And I know he loves me unconditionally, and it's not my performance, because we slip, right, your kids slip up, and we love them, and God, we slip up, and God loves us. But it's not cheap for, you know, the whole, you grace people. Yeah. we don't want to go out and live that way. I want to live for Jesus. And you will, and you do, because you know those things, and they are the truth. We have to live the truth. Let's stand together. Let me pray for you. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this special weekend. And what an awesome time. And just to share together and think together and talk together and to be reminded of your truth, absolute truth, that we stand upon. And Lord, Satan is the prince and power of this world, but he is a demon and he's demonic and he wants to rip off glory to you. But God, our whole thought in our life is to please you and live for you and serve you and to dwell in your mercy and your grace. Oh, Lord, help us to know you more out of a heart's desire and not think of the fear of what if I don't do enough, because Jesus, you did it all for me and us. I pray for each one here and those who've already left from this time this weekend that we continue to grow deeply in the truth of your word and live by faith, Jesus, in you for your glory through the ups and the downs, through the adversity and the times of great expressions of joy, that through it all we can live and rejoice in you. We love you and pray your continue working this day. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.